Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining me on the Libertarian Minded Podcast, where we connect the dots between the globalist agenda and what we see happening in our local area. I'm Tara Radliff, and I'll be your host today on this show called Tara Talks Tucson. I'll be joined by our producer, Millie Ryan.
Well, good morning, Tara. It's really an honor to join you today while Peter's out of town. Before we begin, I did want to just say thank you to you for all you do. This is why we do the podcast together. I'm in awe of your dedication and the way you stay on top of the issues and how often you attend Board of Supervisor meetings, City Council, school board meetings. You are one of the few that is ensuring our voices are not only heard, but actively and positively represented. I'm just inspired by your knowledge and your commitment, and I'm really looking forward to learning a little bit more today on this very important issue that I know you're passionate about. It's people like you that ensure our elected officials don't simply dictate, but genuinely serve the interest of the people who elected them. So please tell us about the Board of Supervisors meeting from March the 5th.
Thanks, Millie. If you guys could see me, my cheeks are like bright red. I appreciate your confidence. Yes, I do. In this episode, I will be talking about an issue that will be impacting our gun rights in Tucson and Pima County. And I want to start with a global view and then talk about how it's actually being implemented in our community. I want to say I am a strong gun rights advocate, and I want to make a point of saying that it doesn't mean I endorse gun violence. In the hands of responsible, mentally and emotionally stable people, gun violence is going to be rare. I believe that if you want to make a marked reduction in gun violence, then you need to target mental health and strengthen a community's resources for treating it. I also believe the amount of gun violence in our country is a symptom of our society and its current customs and culture, which doesn't speak well for us right now. As many of you may know, I am a former law enforcement officer, and I made the choice every day to put my life on the line to protect my community. I feel that we should all have the right to defend ourselves because law enforcement can't be everywhere all the time. I feel that it's my duty to protect myself and my family, my friends, my neighbors, and for that matter, anyone else who needs my assistance. I made that choice to carry a firearm for that defense. Not everyone will make that same choice, and that's okay. And in typical libertarian fashion, I believe that we should all be free to decide how we want to defend ourselves and others, no matter what that looks like. The reason I want to talk about gun rights today is, like Millie said, something happened locally here that's going to affect us. On March 5th, an ordinance was proposed by Supervisor Rex Scott and was passed by the Pima County Board of Supervisors. The ordinance is a requirement to report lost or stolen firearms and has a provision for false reporting. What Rex doesn't understand is this ordinance will almost exclusively only affect law-abiding gun owners. You may not understand why a reporting requirement is equivalent to gun restriction right now, but stick with me and you're going to find out.
Can I just interject here, Tara? This isn't my opinion, but I would say many people would say that reporting a lost or stolen gun is crucial safety measures, that this is something aimed to protect the citizens, and it aligns with the government's responsibility to ensure the public safety and well-being of its citizens. It sounds very much like if we trust our government and we trust our representatives, then this is them just simply taking care of us.
Those are really good points, Millie. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm actually going to be addressing those during the show. And you're right. If we trusted our government and our elected officials to do what is in our best interest and following the Constitution, then there wouldn't be a problem. And unfortunately, that's why we are seeing a problem, because they are not. So we'll dive into that as we go on. This isn't the first time Rex Scott has done something to promote gun restrictions. In 2022, he was able to get a memorandum passed that was sent to the state legislature asking them to remove our firearm preemption laws and authorized our county attorney to spend taxpayer money researching what could be done to remove them. So for those of you who are not aware, Arizona has firearm preemption laws, which basically state that smaller subdivisions of the state, like towns, cities, counties, cannot make rules or taxes that infringe on our gun rights. And that's the short version, but I will explain it a little more going on. But I just wanted to get that basic understanding there. To continue in, let's see, 2023, Rex Scott was able to get a resolution passed that supported the proposed ATF rule to require background checks for all firearm sales, including private sales, and require firearms dealers to get a license to sell, even if it was only one firearm sold privately. Now let's look at the global agenda regarding firearms. The United Nations has 17 sustainable development goals that address multiple topics, and I'm going to focus on only goal number 16, which is peace, justice, and strong institutions. Specifically, this goal will promote peaceful and inclusive societies for sustainable development, provide access to justice for all, and build effective, accountable, and inclusive institutions at all levels. That sounds great, right? Well, not really, if you know how to read and translate what they're saying. So translated, the goal reads like this: impose peaceful and centralized societies for controlled development, mandate dependence on justice for all, and build effective, accountable, and centralized institutions at all levels. Sustainable development language is expressed in the flowery words of environmentalism, social justice, and economic equity. The authors were really good wordsmiths. For example, in goal 16 that I just read, promote equals impose, inclusion equals centralized, and sustainable equals controlled. One of the goal's targets, which it has many of, is to eliminate personal weapons. And you get that by reading into the targets and the UN yearly reports. Think about it, though. How can a global government control a nation when its citizens can defend themselves? It can't. We can see this in places like Australia, where personal firearms are banned. And look at the last 4 years and what they had to endure. I know some of these terms you may not be familiar with, and if you haven't listened to our Back to Basics series yet, I'd encourage you to do so. We define global agencies, agendas, terms. It's actually pretty fascinating to see all the dots connecting so many of the global organizations and their agendas. We also talk about the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. The Back to Basics series will give you a core understanding of what we plan on focusing our discussions on in future shows.
Tara, speaking of Back to Basics, can I just ask you to give us a bit of background on gun rights that is specific to Arizona before we go further?
Yeah, sure. And that's a good point, Millie. Arizona is, most importantly, a constitutional carry state, which I love, which means that you do not need a permit to carry a concealed firearm. The Arizona Citizens Defense League has been instrumental in lobbying for and maintaining really strong gun rights laws in Arizona. I've had the pleasure of meeting Charles Heller, one of the founding members, a couple of times, and I've always been impressed by his wealth of knowledge and his enthusiasm for fighting tirelessly for our gun rights. Arizona has the firearm preemption laws, and that means that any political subdivision of Arizona, which basically means just a city, town, or county, but this is how they word it in the law, shall not enact any ordinance, rule, or tax relating to the transportation, possession, carrying, sale, transfer, purchase, acquisition, gift, device, storage, licensing, regulation, registration, discharge, or use of firearms. Also, no political subdivision. Also, a political subdivision of Arizona shall not require the licensing or registration of firearms or prohibit the ownership, purchase, sale, or transfer of firearms. And I think those are really important. We're one of the states that have some of the strongest gun ownership laws, and I am very thankful for that. Now I want to bring you in closer to Pima County and Tucson. Pima County Board of Supervisor for District 1, Rex Scott, has been working for a while now on implementing policy and supporting issues that will erode our right to bear arms. As I mentioned earlier, he proposed an ordinance that was voted on and approved by the Pima County Board of Supervisors on March 5th. This ordinance requires reporting of lost or stolen firearms and has a provision for falsely reporting a firearm lost or stolen. And I want to point out that Rex Scott actually telegraphed what his agenda was for this ordinance about a week before the Board of Supervisors meeting in a Tucson Sentinel article. And I'm going to highlight the points that really speak to what his agenda is so that you can see where they really want this to go. The first point is, in this article, Rex said that he would like to pass stricter ordinances to prevent gun violence. And this is going to be a continuing theme with him. The second point is that in 2013, the Arizona Attorney General determined that a Tucson city ordinance requiring people to report lost and stolen firearms violated state law. Another point is the Pima County Chief Civil Deputy Attorney Sam Brown said, quote, "We don't agree with that particular AG opinion." Okay, so we kind of see where this is going. Brown also said that they had conversations with the Attorney General's office as they prepared the language for this ordinance. He also predicted that if this ordinance was passed, a state lawmaker probably will file a complaint with the Attorney General's office, but that the interpretation of the law could be different under Attorney General Chris Mays.
Can I ask, is this ordinance not in conflict with the established state law that says that cities, counties, the subdivisions, as they call them, shall not require licensing or registration of firearms?
Yes, it is. And there are problems when elected officials, doesn't matter what side of the aisle they're on, when they have certain ideologies and agendas and they try to change the laws that will conflict with our rights and our constitutions. Basically, they want a challenge to go to the Arizona Attorney General's office so that the 2013 opinion will be reversed. In 2020, the Arizona legislature amended the firearms preemption law, and it included the following statement of legislators' intent. It is the intent of the legislature to clarify existing law relating to the state's preemption of firearms regulation in the state. Firearms regulation is of statewide concern. Therefore, the legislature intends to limit the ability of any political subdivision in this state to regulate firearms and ammunition. And I think that's pretty clear. In the analysis, it states that the Tucson ordinance requires a person who owns or possesses a firearm to report its theft or loss to the Tucson Police Department. However, state law prohibits cities from enacting any ordinance related to the possession or transfer of firearms. And because that ordinance relates to the possession or transfer of firearms, it conflicts with the state. And I think an important note here is I don't think you actually have to have the words owns or possesses a firearm, because I think that's pretty much implied. The current ordinance in Pima County that was just passed did not have those specific words, but I don't think that's necessary. It's just something that's implied. The analysis also said that the Tucson ordinance conflicts with state law, which prohibits cities from enacting an ordinance that relates to firearms and that has a penalty that is greater than any state law penalty. According to the ordinance's language, Arizona state law does not establish any penalty for failure to report the loss or theft of a firearm. Consequently, the civil infraction that it imposes is greater than any state law penalty. And that is still true. There is no law for failure to report. So I think that argument still applies. The Attorney General back then concluded that state law preempts the Tucson Ordinance. It directly contradicts state firearms preemption laws, and it governs subjects in a field that state law already fully occupies.
With this insight, Tara, can we actually look into the ordinance that Rex Scott has and see if it conflicts with the existing state law?
Of course. And I would so love to do that. You know, I really can't help myself because Rex is so good at misrepresenting information that I love calling him out on it. So we're going to have fun. Millie, will you read out each of his justifications, because I'd like to have a discussion about them?
Okay. This is the ordinance as he's written it out here for the Board of Supervisors. And it says, the Board of Supervisors of Pima County, Arizona finds that, and this is the number one point, the Board of Supervisors has authority under Arizona state law to adopt ordinances necessary or proper to carry out the duties, responsibilities, and functions of the county.
So what I found interesting in this one is that he left out the entire end of the statute that he cited. It states, quote, all ordinances necessary or proper to carry out the duties, responsibilities, and functions of the county. And then what the part he left out is, which are not in conflict with any law of this state. And I'm wondering why he didn't want that part in there.
Maybe because this is in conflict. Okay. Number two says, the Pima County Sheriff and Pima County Attorney as county officers have a duty to preserve the peace and prosecute criminal proceedings under Arizona state law.
It just points out their state authority to do so. So I don't have problems with that.
That's the reason he put it in. Okay. Number three. The county also has a duty to take action to preserve the health of the county and the health and safety of its inhabitants.
So in this part, and Millie's not reading out every single Arizona revised statute, chapter 13, blah, 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 because that would just take so long. So either she's going to not read it or say state law. In this justification, he cites two specific state laws as examples of how the county has the duty to preserve the health and safety of its inhabitants. And the first specific one, I'm wondering how this relates to health and public safety, because the statute is about taking action over the unauthorized use of our county seal. And the second, how does investigating nuisances, sources of filth, and causes of sickness in any way relate to firearms violence?
It doesn't. Okay, so that's the reason I see all these little numbers behind it when I'm saying Arizona state statute. And he's written this out on number three about the county has a duty, but he just quotes those laws and they aren't written out.
Correct.
In that statute. You had to look that up, and that's how you know that it's something that's
exactly
kind of irrelevant. Okay. Number four says the sheriff and county attorney are responsible for enforcing Arizona state law prohibiting the sale or transfer of firearms to prohibited possessors.
So here, Rex is continually singling out prohibited possessors. I think what his goal is to spread fear. What about criminals who aren't prohibited possessors? And the mentally and emotionally unstable people in Pima County. They are a way larger majority. How will this ordinance help keep Pima County residents safe from all people who obtain guns for nefarious reasons? The simple answer is it won't, and it never will. So then the next obvious question for me is, what's the purpose of this ordinance?
And I guess number five is just explaining what you mentioned, what prohibited possessors are. And it says, under Arizona state law, prohibited possessors include people convicted of a felony or domestic violence offense, people who have been involuntarily committed for mental health treatment, and undocumented aliens.
So I thought it was interesting that it actually enumerates undocumented aliens as prohibited possessors. Because doesn't Rex know that most illegals don't care about our laws and won't abide by them? And it also really enumerates the difference between a prohibited possessor and, like I said earlier, not all criminals are prohibited possessors. Some criminals only have misdemeanor charges against them. Some have never been charged. What about the mentally or emotionally unstable? They have not been committed. So this whole focus on prohibited possessors is such a small, inconsequential subset of our population that it just doesn't make sense.
Number 6, firearm-related violence by prohibited possessors is a threat to public order and to the health and safety of the county and its inhabitants. Most prohibited possessors abide by the removal of their right to possess a firearm unless or until it is restored. However, prohibited possessors commit a significant number of firearm-related crimes in Pima County, and people who are prohibited from possessing firearms for reasons related to their mental health are at a higher risk of suicide if they are able to illegally obtain a gun.
So this one's pretty juicy.
I think so too.
This section states that most prohibited possessors abide by the law, but in the next sentence, it says they commit a significant amount of the firearm-related crimes in Pima County. Well, okay, so what does a significant amount mean? And how does he know most prohibited possessors abide by the law? You can't know that unless you went and asked them all, but you really think they're going to tell you the truth? Rex just doesn't give any references, so I have no idea if anything of what he's saying in this section is valid. And this section does also talk about suicide. And just for clarification, suicide is a very sad affair, but it does not pose a threat to all county residents' health and safety. Suicides are usually done in the home or somewhere isolated. And it's not always by firearms. It can be a legally owned firearm. It could be something else. So I really have a problem with him bringing this topic into it because I think, again, it's him trying to spread fear.
Number 7 talks about prohibited possessors routinely obtain firearms from straw purchasers who buy firearms on their behalf or with the intent of selling them illegally. Reporting requirements assist with the apprehension and prosecution of straw purchasers, preventing or deterring them from claiming that a firearm they bought and transferred to a prohibited possessor was lost or taken in an unreported theft, as well as preventing or deterring prohibited possessors from falsely claiming that their firearms were lost or stolen when law enforcement moves to remove them.
So that was a mouthful. Well, okay, so let me define something so people who are not familiar with the term will understand. A straw purchaser is a person who buys a gun for someone who is prohibited by law from possessing a gun and either sells or gives that gun to the prohibited possessor. So Rex is asserting here that this reporting requirement will assist in apprehension and prosecution of straw purchasers. This ordinance in no way is going to prevent or deter them from claiming that a firearm was lost or stolen. They would essentially be ratting out their customer if the gun was ever found. And that doesn't make good business sense. This is just good old plain street smarts. He also claims that it'll deter and prevent prohibited possessors from falsely claiming their firearm was lost or stolen. From my perspective, as a former law enforcement officer, it will not prevent or deter false claims. What do they have to lose by lying? They don't. Absolutely nothing.
Number 8 is, although Arizona state law prohibits the enactment of any local ordinance relating to the transportation, possession, carrying, sale, transfer, purchase, acquisition, gift, devise, storage, licensing, registration, discharge, or use of firearms, a reporting requirement for the loss of theft of a firearm relates to none of these issues. The Arizona Court of Appeals found in City of Tucson versus only prohibits local firearms regulations with respect to those issues specifically identified, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Just interpret that for me, please, Tara.
Another mouthful. Okay. So Rex repeatedly states the argument for and the purpose of this ordinance is to enforce state law, which is the selling and transferring of a deadly weapon to a prohibited possessor. My question would be, why do we need this ordinance if the state already addresses this topic? If that's what the purpose of this ordinance is for. And I want to look at the meaning of the word transfer, because this is in what you read, that basically in this section, he's saying that their ordinance does not cover any of the restrictions in state law, but I'm going to beg to differ. I can only assume the word transfer doesn't mean a legal transfer of ownership, since this ordinance specifically relates to prohibited possessors. And honestly, who in their right mind would legally transfer a firearm under these conditions? I don't know. It's very safe to assume that by transfer, it means change in possession, which is the legal definition of the word. The ordinance's reporting requirement specifically relates to the transfer, or I would call it a change in possession, of a firearm from one individual to another when it is lost or stolen. And I believe this directly violates state law.
Well, number 9, we're not sure why this one was included either. And
I'll explain.
I'm just going to give you like the first sentence of this so you can see. We need Tara to translate it again. It says U.S. District Court within the Ninth Circuit. I don't know what they have to do with us. Ninth Circuit found a city ordinance requiring gun owners to maintain liability insurance was not preempted by general state laws. So there's a whole bunch of stuff in here that I need you to translate.
No problem. And I had to read it a couple times too. I think that's pretty typical when you're reading law and decisions. It doesn't always make sense in the first or second reading. So Rex Scott is basically giving the argument here, or justification, that a Ninth Circuit court, which is a federal court, found that liability insurance for gun owners did not abridge the right of possession of gun ownership. Therefore, reporting of a loss or theft of a gun does not abridge our legal right of possession. Now, technically, I would say that is true. However, this ordinance relates to the possession of a firearm, not the abridgment of our legal right of possession. And here again, state law prohibits any ordinance relating to the possession or transfer of firearms. I would also argue that theft of a gun is a transfer of possession, legally speaking. If a person, quote unquote, finds a lost firearm, does it not transfer in possession from one owner to the finder?
I don't either, but I'm really glad this last one, number 10, is not a very long one, because I'm getting a little glassy-eyed right now with all the state laws and all this legal stuff. So, it is in the best interest of the county to amend the Pima County Code by adding a requirement that the loss of theft of a firearm be reported to law enforcement. That's their final.
So Rex asserts it's in the best interest of the county to add a requirement for reporting a lost or stolen firearm. I assert that this ordinance will have little effect in preventing the commission of crimes using firearms obtained in violation of state law. Why? Because most, if not all, criminals, prohibited possessors, mentally and emotionally unstable people, or anyone for that matter, with nefarious reasons for possessing a firearm, could care less about a silly little reporting law that's a slap in the hand. And what Rex doesn't understand is these criminals, they don't care about this law, and it's not going to prohibit them from doing whatever they want. Thank you so much, Millie, for helping me out with those.
feel like I have a much better understanding of this entire issue, and I appreciate everything that you've done to clarify these.
Oh, good. Wonderful. And I hope that means our listeners do too, have a better understanding of what Rex Scott's justifications are and how a lot of them just don't make logical sense, and the way he worded them to make them seem valid. The next part of the ordinance just outlines the violation and penalties. There's, just to be thorough, I wanted to read those quickly. The mandatory reporting section has three components. The first is failure to report a loss or theft of a firearm. The second is the report must be made within 48 hours of the time the person, quote, knew or reasonably should have known, unquote, that the firearm had been lost or stolen and in the jurisdiction where it was lost or stolen. And I'm going to get back to the knew or reasonably should have known part later because I think that's important. The third component is the person must report all identifying and relevant information about the firearm if known. That's pretty open-ended. False reporting of a firearm lost or stolen is also listed as a violation. And then there are the exceptions for law enforcement, U.S. Marshals, the military, National Guard, while they're all engaged in official duties, and for federally licensed dealers or manufacturers because they already have federal reporting requirements. So the penalty section, which purportedly will help keep straw purchasers and prohibited possessors from wanting to break the law because it's just so fierce and overwhelmingly expensive. The punishment for violating this ordinance is a petty offense, which is lower than a misdemeanor. It's like the lowest criminal charge you can have. And you can be fined up to $1,000 per violation.
Now, wasn't it originally a fine of, $200 or $300?
$300. So during the discussion after the hearing at the Board of Supervisors for this item, Rex Scott talked about a letter that the county attorney wrote saying that it should be a higher amount because $300 was not enough, and she suggested $1,000. He concurred, and they motioned and agreed on that, and so it was raised to $1,000. So I wanted to share my thoughts regarding this ordinance and leave you all with some information to think about. Rex doesn't cite any references for all the assumptions he makes regarding things, for instance, like the number of prohibited possessors that commit a quote-unquote significant amount of firearms-related crimes in Pima County. So how do we know what he states is fact? Why wouldn't he cite his references? It would make him sound much more credible if he did, and so that I question that. He also states numerous times that this is for the purpose of enforcing state law. And if this ordinance governs subjects in a field that state law already fully occupies, wouldn't it make the ordinance null and void? And regarding the reporting requirement for this ordinance, I believe in essence, it's a local firearms registration. State law says that towns, cities, and counties shall not require the licensing or registration of firearms. And I would argue that by having to report a loss or theft of a firearm, you are registering that you owned that gun. So is that record going to be temporary or permanent? If you are making a report to a law enforcement agency, that record is going to be permanent. Could this be used in the future to revoke possession of firearms or to target individuals known to have firearms? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I suppose it depends on who your elected officials are and what their ideologies and agendas are and how they will interpret and enforce these things. And unfortunately, right now, we are seeing a lot of this happen that is taking away our rights and not supporting the Constitution. And that is a problem. Also, I want to point out that the vaguely written requirements for reporting in this ordinance are going to leave it open to multiple interpretations. And this can be a problem. Specifically, the part that states, quote, the person knew or reasonably should have known that the firearm had been lost or stolen. objectively, how can law enforcement determine if a law-abiding gun owner should have known this? I believe that the interpretations will end up being very subjective because it's so open. Will this lead to targeted convictions? Again, it depends on who your elected officials are. And right now, it's not looking good for us. Undoubtedly, the people this ordinance will affect the most are law-abiding gun owners. It places an undue burden on them for registering and reporting only because they are gun owners. This is a first small step towards total gun control regulated by government. So that's kind of my summation of the ordinance itself. And now I'd like to share my final thoughts in general about Rex Scott and his agenda. So Rex has been continually pushing for gun violence to be equated with public health and safety. Public health and safety, if you look at the definitions, is regarding cleanliness and diseases. It has nothing to do with gun or gun violence. I have been hearing this public health and safety narrative more and more on the local, state, and national levels. I believe that it is the new, or at least most current, excuse for quote-unquote legally taking our rights away, not just our rights to bear arms, but all of our rights. So be aware when you hear that phrase, public health and safety, because there's something more to what the public official is saying. Rex has continued to state in one form or another that he wants to do more to prevent gun violence. And I think that is totally fine. If he were doing something that would truly, truly make a difference, but he's not. He is going to continue to do everything in his power to make sure there are no more guns in the hands of law-abiding residents. He needs to be replaced so he cannot cause any further harm. I wanted to also give an example of how well gun control works. And since I'm so close to the Mexican border, I figured that would be a really good one to point out. Guns are outlawed in Mexico. So how's that working for him? The criminals have guns and the law-abiding residents do not. The cartels and criminals basically run a majority of the country through fear, violence, and death. Is this what Rex wants for our county? Because this is where it's going to be headed. On a positive note, I communicated with Charles Heller from the Arizona Citizens Defense League, and he told me that the Goldwater Institute, which is a national liberty organization founded in Arizona, has this ordinance and is proceeding with legal remedies. I am so curious and excited to see how this is going to play out. And just in case any of you would like to firmly yet fairly let Rex Scott know what your thoughts are on this matter, I have left his contact information listed in the show notes. My hope today is that you come away more knowledgeable and thoughtful with the information that I have presented. This will make you a stronger advocate for your rights. Make a difference in your community. Contact your elected officials and start a dialogue. Just remember the old saying, you attract more bees with honey than vinegar. Be firm, yet fair, and calm. And if you find that your elected officials don't listen, then you support either a recall for them or actively support a replacement in the next election. Thank you, everyone, for joining me on my first Terra Talks Tucson show. And I want to give a big thanks to Millie Ryan for all of her assistance today in front of the mic and behind the scenes. I hope you will join me next time when I delve into another juicy local issue and tear it apart. And as always, everyone, make freedom your single issue.